Open very quickly, if you would, to the book of Numbers. Chapter 11. Whatever form of God's word that you might have. I realize how much time we've got. I can keep time. I just don't care. I don't pay that close attention, as most of you know. But I will today, just to soothe your wonder. So Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 3 is where we'll start. This is the message I started a couple of weeks ago. I thought maybe I'd finish it today, but we won't get through with it yet, because God's not through with us yet. Now, the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard them, his anger was aroused. The fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some in the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So that place was called Taberah, which means the burning place or the place of burning, because the fire from the Lord had burned among them. In this text, in this chapter, in this happening, we'll see how discouragement can enter into a life. Discouragement arises most of the time from frustration. And frustration is a temper tantrum because of what's going on down inside. It's that internalization of not getting our way, or things not happening the way we want to have them happen, that we internalize that and then it comes out as anger, or it stays in as frustration and discouragement. Discouragement and anger will lead to regret every time. So be careful of that. We see here in this text, in this chapter, the ways that discouragement enters in. And now it's happening to one of the greatest men that's ever walked this planet, Moses. As he climbed the ladder of leadership, leading God's people toward the promised land, being obedient to what God had called upon and asked him to do, we get a snapshot of his frustrations. So hopefully, as we walk all the way through this, that we can see some of the truths from this passage into the life of Moses and what caused him to react the way he did. Because as a result of those things, he came to the moment that he wanted to just bundle it all up and throw in the towel. I quit. And that's the title of the message today. That's it. I quit. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've felt it. I've said it. I've seen it in so many who have walked away just moments before victory, when it was in the grasp. But discouragement caused them to walk, to give up, to quit. So that's where we are. That's it. I quit. I believe in what we're going to talk about today, next week, whatever, that there's some help for a hurting, tangled heart. So point one we covered 2 weeks ago, the problems that Moses pondered. In verses 4-6, there was a foreign rabble who had traveled with the Israelites out of Egypt. And they began to crave, the Bible says, the good things of Egypt. That's a weird statement, just saying that. But that's what the word says in verse 4. And the people of Israel also began to complain, because complaining is contagious. You never keep it just in your bosom. When you let it out, other people catch it. It's kind of like a cold. It affects everybody it touches. And they began to complain and say, "Oh, for some meat. We remember the fish that we used to catch and eat for free in Egypt." And oh my, there was the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our appetites are gone, because all we ever see is manna. Manna in the morning, manna in the evening, manna at supper time. That's all they had. The discouragement that was faced by Moses had its roots in the burdens that he was trying to bear as he led the children of Israel, 6 million of them, or 2 million, whichever, I don't care, still a handful, all the way to the promised land. And he was physically carrying them almost. As the problems began to add up and the pile became bigger and bigger, he allowed himself in the midst of that journey to become discouraged. So it may help us to look at what Moses was dealing with. He faced a people problem. The children of Israel were complainers. They were never satisfied about anything. Number two, or B, Moses faced a provision problem. Now, I covered all this last time, so you can go back and look there. In Numbers 11, 6-9, it says, "All we ever see is this manna. And the manna looked like little coriander seeds, and it was pale yellow like gum resin. The people would go out and gather it from the ground. They made flour by grinding it with hand mills or pounding it in mortars. Then they boiled it in a pot and made it into flat cakes. These cakes tasted like pastry that had been baked with olive oil. The manna came down on the camp with the dew during the night. So these verses point out and they remind us that Moses leading this between 2 million and 6 million rabble of people through a wilderness, rocks and sand and bugs and snakes. That's what was there. And sometimes they would get so tired of this manna that they would look for something else, but there was nothing else there. And every morning when they awoke, it was that manna once again, and they got tired of it. Sometimes you and I face provisional problems. It may be something unexpected, like we have more month than we have money, or we just have a sickness or a breakdown. But for whatever problem it might be, suddenly we have a provision problem. And it'll weigh heavy on you. But I want you to understand something. When you're walking with God, whether you're a part of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt or whether today sitting in here, it's God's responsibility to feed and take care of the children, of you, of them. He called Moses to lead them. He didn't call Moses to provide for them. He would do the providing. You are his, and he is directing your life. So then your provision is not your problem. It's God's problem. And the Bible says, my God shall, will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. When we seek first the kingdom of God, when we seek first the kingdom of God, then all these other things will be added to us. That's what the word says. I believe the word. You can go to Matthew 6:33 and see that, or you can go to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, and you can read about the supply that's there. It may not be exactly what you want, but it will be what you need. It may not be the color that you like, but it will be okay. Because God will supply. So that brings us to where we left off last time. Point C. Moses faced a personal problem. Have you ever had anybody look at you and say, what you just told me sounds like a personal problem? It makes you want to smack them in the face, doesn't it? Moses had a personal problem. In verse 10 of chapter 11 of Numbers, Moses heard all the families standing in their doorways of their tents whining. And the Lord became extremely angry. Moses was also very aggravated. The King James says displeased. He was irritated. He was brought to that moment. That's it. That's it. Because of the weight of the load that he was carrying, Moses allowed himself to become utterly discouraged. That word that the King James uses, that's displeased. Or the NIV uses aggravated. It means to be broken into pieces, to utterly be destroyed. In other words, Moses was about to have a nervous breakdown. Not God, Moses. In the middle of the desert, he was going to pitch a fit. Most of your kids did it in the grocery store. Usually on the cereal or the candy aisle. Don't go down those aisles. Save everybody a lot of trouble. Moses in the middle of that. I pitched a fit over churches. I pitched a fit to God. I said, you're a bully. You know what? God didn't have a nervous breakdown over that. He never wringed his hands one time. Ringed. Whatever. If you've got a question about it, ask Susan. She'll straighten you out. She always does me. God doesn't get upset. He very calmly showed me the error of my ways and what was going to happen if I didn't have an attitude adjustment. He was a lot like my dad. My dad used to say, I'll give you something to get upset about. You want to cry? Man, I'll give you something to cry about. So I learned from him. And I'd do the same thing. You want to cry? Come here, little girl. You're going to cry. And she looked at me one time and said, Daddy, you going to kill me? I got so tickled I couldn't even spank her after that. I had to just give up. But Moses was at that point. He was broken. He had reached the end. Life wasn't worth living if he had to keep going in that direction. If you and I are not careful, the problems that we face in life will cause plagues in our heart. And it'll cause us to want to walk away from God. It'll cause us to want to quit, cash it in. It happened to Elijah. The two men that Jesus met on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah, both of them got to this place where they wanted to quit. They started resigning. I used to resign every Monday morning. I'm serious. I'd write out my resignation, keep it in my Bible. Every Monday I'd take it out and read it. So I'm going to give it to them. So I don't do it just every Monday anymore. I do it every day. I've got it framed now. And there's that little sign up under the frame. It says, break glass in case of emergency. Not really, but it sounded good, didn't it? Made me feel better just saying it. But what was the real problem that was here? What was it that drove Jonah to that point of despair, that point of discouragement? And Elijah and Moses, these great men of God. Moses had allowed the problems, those things that he faced, to become larger than the God that he served. If you ever allow your problems to block out God, if you ever allow your problems to get so big that they become bigger than God, you're going to get to this point because there's no way out. There's nowhere to turn. Anytime we allow those kind of things to happen in our life, we are in danger of a spiritual breakdown. You and I need to come to the place where we remember that every problem we face has the potential to be greater than our ability to handle it. But we're not expected to handle it. We can give it to God, and he will handle it. So I have to keep my eyes on God. I have to keep my eyes on the Lord. I have to follow him. I have to stay within earshot so that I can hear his voice. I can hear his words. And I have to be willing to let go of my problems. Those things that frustrate me. Those things that I can't handle. Those things that bring me to that point of giving up and quitting. We must remember that God, not us, God is the one who fights your battles. We sang about it this morning. He fights, and you and I get to share in the victory when we allow him to win the battle. You say, I don't know about that, Pastor. Well, then maybe you need to think of David and Goliath. Who fought the battle? Who directed that stone? Who prepared David's heart to face the Goliath? God did all of those things. And who got the accolades? David. You and I need to remember David and Goliath. A pastor and his wife, they were at the point of wanting to give up. They had a little bitty church way off in the foothills in a very small community. The community was poor, and they were just scraping through. Their little girl got sick, and they didn't have any money for a doctor. And she kept getting worse and worse and worse. On the other side of the state, there was a meeting going on. It was a presbyter's meeting. And all the bigwigs from the state had gathered together. And that husband looked at his daughter. And he hugged her and he looked at his wife and he said, I don't know how, but I've got to get to that meeting. So about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he laid down his work tools and he started walking. He walked all that day and then all night. And he walked all through the morning. And it was getting close to lunchtime when he arrived at the house where these men were meeting. Well, the man that was leading the meeting pastored the largest church in the whole state. He and his wife had had a conversation the night before. He said, it's a waste of my time. It's a waste of my energy to pastor this church. These people don't care. And I've outgrown them. I'm worthy of better. I'm going to quit. I'm just not going to put up with it anymore. And he says, I think I've let God down. And that's why some of these things are happening. But there's a bigger church over in the neighboring state. And they're interested in me coming over there. So I might go over there. And his wife says to him, you better pray about it. And he said, yeah, I've prayed about it. And she said, well, you got that big meeting tomorrow. Don't even think about it anymore until after the meeting. He said, okay, I can do that. So somewhere late morning, through the rain, walking all night, walking all morning, walking all afternoon, this poor pastor makes it to the door of that house. And he knocks on the door, and the maid comes to the door and opens it. And she looks at him and says, can I help you? And he said, I need to see Dr. So-and-so. And she said, well, have you got an appointment? And he said, no. But I've walked all night to get here. I've got to see him. And she said, well, he's kind of busy right now. Come back tomorrow. And he said, tomorrow's going to be too late. I need to see him. And she said, well, I'll go and ask him, but don't get your hopes up. And she goes in, taps on the door. He says, come on in. And she whispers to him and says, there's a dirty old man out there that wants to see you. And he said, well, you go back and tell him that I don't have time to see him. Maybe I'll see him later. So she comes back and she says, I'm sorry, but he's so busy and so tied up. In very important business, he doesn't have time to come talk to you. With tears in his eyes, he said, would you go back one more time and tell him I desperately need to see him? So she goes back. She slips around behind the table where he was sitting. And she whispers in his ear, he's not going to go away. He said he's desperate to see you. And he said, well, tell him I'll be out there in about an hour. So the meeting went on, and then they broke up for lunch, and the doctor walked over to the door and he opened the door. And there was this disheveled, dirty man whose clothes were all wrinkled because he had walked in the rain. And he said, what do you want? He said, oh, sir, I pastor a little church on the other side of the state. And me and my wife, we don't have much. My daughter's sick. And I don't have enough money for the doctor. But I knew if I could get here to you and have you agree with me in prayer that God would heal my little girl and everything would be okay. He stood there and he looked at this man for a while. And he says, what makes you think that I can do this for you? He said, well, you pastor the biggest church in the state. You've got a lot of money and you're very famous. If anybody can get a hold of God, it'll be you. Will you please help me and just pray with me? I've traveled all night. I've traveled all morning to get here. I need you to pray for me, to pray with me for my daughter. And then I know everything will be okay. That man in his $400 suit fell down on his knees in front of this shabby, dirty pastor. He said, I can't pray for you until you pray for me. I've been looking at all the wrong things these last few years. I've been looking at all my problems instead of the love of my Lord. That man, that pastor fell down next to this doctor, and they began to embrace, and they began to pray for each other. They prayed for about a half hour, and all the other guys came out to find out what was going on, and they all gathered around and began to pray. When the prayer was over, the doctor stood up. He was a changed man. Once again, he had a zeal. Once again, he had a desire. When the very poor pastor stood up, he had a certainty. He says, I know. Everything's fine. He walked all the way home. When he walked in, his little girl ran across the room and threw her arms around him. He said, when did you start feeling better? She said, right after lunch yesterday. Everything was okay. I tell that story because you and I have been given so much. We have so much. There's those that are struggling. There's those that are trying to make their way through. And they don't know what to do. But if they can have somebody like you pray for them, if they can just make it to you, everything will be okay. Because you hold within your hand the answer to every problem. And his name is Jesus. Bow your heads with me, would you please?